The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another Sunday morning teaching from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. I'm Chris Alford, the pastor, and on this particular Sunday, we had a very special guest. Her name, Susan McCrary. She's not only a dear personal friend, she's one of the missionaries we support at Epiclesis. She came in all the way from Spain to visit us at Epiclesis to talk about her work with an organization called Teach Beyond. It was inspirational, it was pastoral, it was exciting, and you're going to want to hear it too. Here now is Susan McCrary with Teach Beyond.
Good morning again. Thank you for having me here. What a joy to be with you all this morning. What a joy to get reconnected with Chris and to get to know Sheila, who feels like a lifetime friend already. And I love that this world is much smaller than how much it looks, because here we are crossing paths once again, Chris. And I am delighted to be here and be a part of this. I feel so welcome here. I just want you to know that you are a special group of people. I just met you. Some of you I haven't even talked to yet, but I feel embraced here, and I thank you for that. You've made me feel welcome. I already feel humbled and honored because you chose to partner with me before you even knew me, and I am humbled by your hearts and your generosity and your care of me without even knowing me. And I give all glory to God for that and how he weaves lives together in ministries and in his work and in his time. And I also know that it's the Spirit in you which makes me feel welcome here. My grandfather, one of his favorite songs was, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place," and there certainly is here. So thank you for the warm welcome. So I'm Susan McCrary. Please excuse the hoarseness. I live in Madrid, Spain. I'm from East Tennessee, which I know you already know because of the way I'm talking. But we flew from Madrid, my husband and I, to Tennessee mid-June, and East Tennessee allergies took hold of my throat. And so I'm still a little sneezy and hoarse from that. So apologies for that. I'm well. I'm just gripped by East Tennessee allergies this morning. I am from Knoxville, like Chris was saying, grew up there, and my husband and I, Larry, he's also from Knoxville, we met during college, actually on a whitewater rafting trip in Tennessee. I can say we were on the same boat. We literally bumped into each other. There's just no other way to say it, tossing about in the rapids. And so we met, and we started dating long distance because he was in Tennessee in college. I was in South Carolina in college, and this was pre-technology for the most part. So we wrote a lot of letters, and we made a lot of really expensive phone calls on AT&T to my father's demise. But we, you know, stayed connected, dated long distance for a couple of years through my college years, and then he moved to Texas. When I graduated college, I knew we were really serious about each other, but we really had never lived in the same city. And so I thought, well, I'm going to find a job and move to Texas. I didn't really know what to do after college, so I was like, here I go. And so I made plans to do this, and my husband, not then, but now husband, Larry, flew up to Tennessee to see me after my college graduation, and he took me up to the mountains of East Tennessee, which we love dearly, and we were down in the mountains by a stream talking, and he got down on one knee, and I thought, oh, I know what's coming. And he said, will you marry me? And I said, well, wait a minute. And he said, well, that's not an answer. It's yes or it's no. Those are the choices here. And I think it was wonderful because he learned that I'm a verbal processor very early on in our life, that I just need to talk about this for a minute. And so I did. We talked for 2.5 hours. We missed our dinner reservation in Gatlinburg, and we ate at Arby's. You know, it's what you do when you get engaged. But poor thing, I just made him sweat for 2 hours. But we just talked and talked, and it was really important. Because I told him, I know I love you. I know I want to be married to you. But I also know that God has a calling on your life. He was in seminary at the time, and I said, I take that very seriously, and I know wherever God calls you, I go too. And I want you to hear me say in this moment, in this important moment, that I'm 100% for you, but I'm 100% for what God's going to do in your life. Little did I know the significance of that moment for the rest of our years, and probably will be for the rest of our years, where God's going to take us. I didn't know in that moment. I couldn't have said yes to church planting for 11 years in the U.S. and for moving overseas and to be still there 21 years later. Had no idea all these things were ahead for me, but that was okay. I knew that that was my moment to commit to Larry and to what God was doing in his life. And so here I stand before you today, so grateful for that commitment to say God has a plan and we just follow where he leads. Fast forward about 12 years, we now have a 4 and an 8-year-old, and he comes to me and sits me down. I think, oh boy, here we go. There's going to be more announcements to be made. And he says, I think God's calling us overseas. And what did I do? Wait a minute. I wasn't so sure, and I needed to process it. I actually told him, I'll pray about praying about it. I'm not really sure even how to approach this. I don't know what to think about it. I was overcome with fear. Fear was something that had a grip on me. The unknown, I'm not really fond of. I mean, that's what life is. But I was like, I don't have any answers. Where are we going? What does it look like? What are we going to do? And I didn't have any of those answers. And Larry was wise and said, if God's going to call us, he's going to call us both. And so we'll wait. Let's see what God has for us. And for about 9 months, I wrestled with the Lord in my heart about what this meant. And he led me through scriptures that were very pointed to what he wanted to tell me. And he told me about how Abraham went to a place that he didn't know, just following him, being obedient. He told me about Mary when she's told that she's going to have the Son of God, how she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be unto me as you've said, even though she was filled with fear. And on through scripture, how the disciples left their nets and their family, and they just followed. And sometimes we don't have clarity in the known, but we have confidence in who we're following. And that was the case for me as I was learning to have confidence in who I'm following and be obedient in that, even when I don't have any clarity for what lies ahead. And my biggest fear, I think, was for my children. I didn't know what that would mean for them to be in a new culture, in a new country, in another language, in another school with new friends. And I was afraid. And I'll never forget the moment when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Susan, why do you think this is just about your and Larry's calling? What if this is something that I have for your kids? And that had never crossed my mind, that it wasn't just my calling. It wasn't just Larry's calling. This was something for our kids. And so I was relinquishing myself, submitting to the Lord in that, but also relinquishing my family, my children, for whatever path God would have them on. And so pack up we did. We flew to the training center for our missions organization September 10th of 2001. There were 291 people gathered together, getting ready to go to all parts of the world. And the next morning was September 11th. And we were in a facility that did not have any televisions or news media. We were there for training, so it was to studying and to listening. And so we didn't have access to that morning. And we all came into the training facility and sat down, and they came in with very serious faces and told us what had just happened. And at first we all, in disbelief, said, is this part of the training? I'm not sure what this is. And then it was told, this is reality. This is where we're going, what's going on around us. And that fear came right back. Sometimes when we are in obedience and following, we still get to wrestle with the things that get a hold of us. And so it was another opportunity to once again come before the Lord and bring in my heart, my fears, my thoughts for the unknown. Out of those 291 people, there was only one that said they wouldn't be going. The rest went. So I saw obedience in action. And God was so gracious to take our family to Madrid, and that was our first place to be. And we served there for about 5 years, and then God called us to Germany. And my husband was going to be in a leadership position for the mission organization that we were serving with in the southwest corner of Germany in the Black Forest. Well, so we moved there to this really small, beautiful village. And in this village are a lot of headquarters of mission organizations who had based out of Germany in order to get into other countries when a lot of the countries were closed for the gospel. And so there were a lot of mission organizations there. But there was a school called Black Forest Academy. It was a Christian international school. It served the needs of so many missionary families. And it would be serving the needs of my family. I had never heard of Black Forest Academy, and I had never heard of Teach Beyond, the organization that this was its flagship school. Because years before that, a family from Canada, gospel singers, had come to this little village and had begun to do gospel crusades for years. And out of that came an educational, missional-minded program called Teach Beyond. And they started this school called Black Forest Academy. So my children went into the school. At this time, my children were 6th grade and 11th grade. My daughter was 11th grade. My son was 6th grade. And they were in some hard places for kids. They were having some struggles. And my family, quite honestly, were in need of some care. And we came into this community and into this school. And I'm a teacher by trade, but all of a sudden my eyes were opened to what education means as a ministry and how it impacted my children's lives, how it impacted my life as a mother to see people care for my children and my family, and how we found healing in that place. The next year I was asked to teach on staff. Had not imagined that I would be doing that in Germany, but they needed a teacher. I stepped into the role, taught for the next 3 years, and fell in love with Teach Beyond, this organization. With the people, with their hearts, with their ministry. I saw personally how it impacted me and my family, and then I saw how it was impacting the lives of families whose children attended there. Some of the children, the families lived locally, but this was also a high school boarding school program. So there were children whose parents lived in very hard places serving the Lord, and they needed a place for their high schooler to thrive and to be cared for. For example, countries where maybe their daughter would not be as safe when she reached her teen years, or possibly where a son might be in a compromising situation with their government. And so there are places where some of these missionary families go where they have to make a choice for what they can do to help their child in these pivotal adolescent years to be able to continue their work. And so Black Forest provides this beautiful ministry of a boarding school for these high schoolers and prepares them for university as they go maybe back to their home country. And so I just watched this in awe of how it was a family and how they cared for one another. I wasn't with Teach Beyond then. I was with another organization, but my heart became endeared to Teach Beyond. That was 16 years ago. And from that time on, I advocated for Teach Beyond everywhere I went, even though I wasn't a part of them yet. I would tell people, oh, you need to check out Teach Beyond. You need to see their schools and how they serve. They're just humble, servant-hearted leaders, and they care about bringing the gospel to students, to families, to lives in communities. And so it became very important to me to continue to spread the good word about Teach Beyond. Well, fast forward 13 years, my husband and I, we've moved a lot. Do you remember back when he was down on one knee? That was a really important thing that I said yes to all of these moves. We've moved quite a bit, but we moved back to the States, then we moved back to Spain, then we moved back to the States. You're getting the nutshell version, by the way. And then we moved back to Spain in 2018. We've been there since then, almost 5 years now. But in 2019, I was finishing a contract as an educational consultant for another missions organization where I was helping families on the field. Families need support. Missionary families who go overseas, they need support. They need people to come around them and be community. And so I was able to be an educational consultant and help these families in Europe. Well, that contract ended, and I was looking for a new place to serve. And what did I think of but Teach Beyond? I thought, I love that organization. What a joy it would be to serve them, serve alongside of them. So I called up my friend who's the director of mobilization. I said, Heather, is there a place for me there? And she said, absolutely. She and I have been friends for a long time. She said, you've served overseas, raised your kids overseas. You've taught in one of our schools, even when you weren't a part of us. And you've ministered to families who have their children in this school. And hasn't the Lord just brought you full circle now to care for these teachers who are teaching these kids? And I was so humbled that God would allow me to find another way to complete this caring cycle that He's developed in my heart and in my life all through the years, to say, now I have another way to care. So that's what I'm doing now. 2 years ago, I started with Teach Beyond as the Europe Member Care Coordinator. What does that mean? It's a big title, sounds like a lot of words anyway. But really what it is I just oversee the care for our teachers and our staffs in our schools and projects and camps in Europe, and make sure they have what they need to thrive as they serve the Lord where they are. Care can be a multitude of things. Some people say, well, what do you do? What do you do every day? It's a great question. I do a lot of different things. Basically, I'm coordinating that they get care. And the things that I do require me to find the resources, go and visit them. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. And I do it because I care that the teachers thrive too. Let me read you the vision statement. Their mission is, as followers of Jesus, we are a global community providing transformational education services as part of God's ongoing mission to transform individuals and communities into all He intends. And Teach Beyond is about transformation. And they tell their members, their workers, transformation starts here. It doesn't start in the classroom. It doesn't start with the student or with the families. It starts here. Because it's transformed people who are clay in the potter's hands to be an agent of transformation through the Lord and through what God's doing. God is the one doing the transformative work. And we are those jars of clay, right? To be used by Him in whatever capacity He puts us in, so that people can be all that God intends for them to be. And so my job is to help these teachers find ways to be transformed by the Lord in their daily lives so that they can be transformational in their classrooms and in their teaching. I serve 18 countries in Europe is where we have members. We have about 400 members in Europe, so I'm pretty busy. That's a lot of people to see. I try to make visits in person as much as I can. I make it to about 3 schools a semester in different countries. I've seen some beautiful countries and some beautiful people that I had not met before just by being able to have these visits. It matters to have someone come see you. You know what that's like for yourselves. It matters when people show up and come see you. And so it matters to these teachers that I get to go and do that. I provide resources. We just finished a trauma training webinar for our teachers who are receiving Ukrainian and Russian refugees into their schools because they have flooded out of Ukraine and Russia and are pouring into the countries surrounding that area and have nowhere to go. And these children are traumatized. A refugee is fleeing. That's what they do. They flee. And so they don't bring with them the things that are security, and they have a lack of safety. And so we train these teachers how to care well in their classrooms for these traumatized children and their families. And so we did a trauma-informed webinar to train our teachers. I lead transition workshops for our schools and help teachers who are brand new coming in how to land well. So important how we start well in a new place. And I tell you what, when you move to a new place, as some of you already know, if you've moved, is that we start pretty busy. There's a lot to do and a lot to learn, and it's sort of overwhelming. And intentionality usually isn't the first thing on our radar. but we try to help teachers realize how to stay present, how to stay engaged and intentional so that it's meaningful and not just a blur. My husband, who runs his own nonprofit organization called the Upstream Collective, he helps churches be trained and equipped to send well, because Acts tells us that the church are the senders. The church is the one who sends the workers. And so he and I wrote a book called First 30 Days. It's probably been 6-7 years ago now, I guess. And we spelled it D-A-Z-E instead of D-A-Y-S. Why? Because those first 30 days are incredibly a daze. But the reason we wrote that book is because after 20 years, we said, wow, looking back, what all did we learn through the years that we think, oh, if we'd just known that at the outset, wouldn't that have been helpful? And so we wrote a book for that. And so I use that as the teaching tool for my transition workshops to help teachers say, what do we do when we hit the ground? How can we be intentional? And of course, we can do that anywhere at any time. I'm giving you little snippets of my work. These are the different things that I've been a part of. We have our orientation for Teach Beyond in June at Wheaton College, and so I lead cross-cultural adaptation there. How do we help people step into new culture? Because that can be overwhelming. I liken it a bit to my husband and I love to fly fish, and there's one of us in that pair that is a really good fly fisherman, and there's one of us that's not. I went along at first just to enjoy nature. I love to be outside. So I just went and took a book and sat by the river, and then I thought, well, my goodness, I'm going to get out there too. So I got all the gear. I got the waders, and I got little tackle things and clipped them on. And I used to say pole, and my husband was mortified. It's a rod. And I got out in the stream with him, stood right there beside him, and whatever he did, I did, and I'm just mimicking him. I'm not really sure what's going on. But that's how we enter culture in two completely different ways. My husband knew what was under the water. He knew the fish. He knew why we're using certain bait. He knew what was going on in his environment, and he was immersing himself into that. I was just having a good time. I had no idea what was under the water. So that's the illustration I use for when we move to a new place, when we enter a new setting. How do we actually immerse? And it's not easy. It's an intentional thing. So these are just some ways that I pour into these teachers' lives to help them embrace the life that God has them in and on in their journey. I'd like to just give you a little couple of bits about Teach Beyond. We have about 1,200 members globally. We serve about 25,000 students. We have about 600 programs and projects globally. We serve in private faith-based schools, elementary, secondary. We serve in public national schools. We serve in universities and colleges and seminaries. We work in English camps and summer camps for youth and adults and children. We work in refugee camps to bring a loose form of an educational program into refugee camps where children are displaced for much longer than they are meant to be. Refugee camps were designed for short term, and most kids have been there 8 to 10 years, and they don't have education. And so we go in and help them devise a simple program and give these children the gift of education. We go into some impoverished areas in the world, such as in India or Africa, where there may be schools, it may be near a big city, but they can't afford to go to school, and their parents can't afford to let them go because the children are foraging for food every day for their family. And so we go in, and they're usually in a slum or a dump area, and we'll go in and we take in what we call like school in a backpack or a box, where it's just very simple, and take education in and teach the local teachers how to teach in a simple way so that the children can have education. And so Teach Beyond's mission is far-reaching, and it's impacting these children's lives and their families' lives, because what we're doing most of all is valuing them with the love of Jesus. When we value people, it really matters. That's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask Greg just to show you a video. It's just 2 minutes of sort of an overview of who Teach Beyond is. So maybe this will put it all together, all of my stories.
The whole world is in desperate need of faith, hope, and love. Our calling as followers of Jesus is to be obedient as God redeems and transforms people around the world. We are a global movement providing transformational education to children and adults in order to see individuals and societies become all God intends. This education occurs anywhere a learning environment exists, from international schools to universities, language centers to English camps. Our global calling goes beyond just the geographic, to a calling to serve all levels of society, including the marginalized and poor. Regardless of the educational setting, we seek to bring services that are biblically grounded, high quality, holistic, and culturally relevant, knowing that God often uses these educational environments to transform individuals, families, communities, and even whole societies. Members of Teach Beyond are committed to becoming effective models of a transformed and transformational life. We desire to foster the transformational education movement around the world through recruiting, training, and equipping that will support educators and learners alike to become holistically healthy as they come to understand what it means to be formed in the image of Christ. Our members are teachers, administrators, support staff, and short-term volunteers called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We have seen God at work through our 900-plus active members who serve in more than 60 partner organizations in over 60 countries. God is actively using Teach Beyond to accomplish His redemptive purposes. We invite you to be a part of God's amazing and transformational work around the world with Teach Beyond.
That gives you a little insight into Teach Beyond and to what I do and why I do it. One of our schools on the wall, they have three words. They have written, seen, loved, supported. And I think that encompasses best why I do what I do, is that people need to be seen. They need to be loved and they need to be supported. And because you support me, I'm able to go and support them. And so we really go together. You're with me. You know, when people say they're praying for me and my work, I quickly tell them how much it's felt. I know there are prayers because it just wouldn't be possible without the prayers and the care of the body of Christ around us. It is tangibly felt and it's just so needed. I thank you for the way that you have cared for me without even knowing me yet. I look forward to getting to know you more and more. I do want to close with one thought for you, and that is the reason that we endeavor to invest in people's lives, and it's because our model is Jesus. When you think of Jesus, think of how he saw people. Jesus modeled for us how to see people. I want you just to take a moment, and I want you just to think of a story in the Bible of how Jesus saw someone. It may be hard to think of just one, but if you can hone in on one story, what story comes to your mind when you think of how Jesus saw people? What was he doing in that moment? What was the person doing? What was the situation, the environment? Were there a lot of people around? Was it crowded? Were his disciples there watching? How Jesus saw someone? Was he alone with someone when he saw them? How did he speak to them? How did he make them feel seen? That was Jesus' heart for the people, to love them, to see them, and to share his love with them. I invite you to go home later today and maybe look up that story and read it a little further, a little deeper, and say, this is how Jesus has modeled for me how to see people. So how do we take that out with us today? How do we take that out with us every day? to see those around us, to love them and support them and care for them. And when Teach Beyond or my ministry comes across your mind or across your desk or you hear about it, I ask that you pray that the people that we come in contact with in our ministry will feel seen, loved, and supported, and will, because of that, know Jesus. Thank you for your time today.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.